Today is Tuesday, September 26, 2017. My name is Obi Phillip and I'm joined today by Susan Elgood. We'll be discussing the first game of the inaugural AFLW season between Carlton and Collingwood, which was played on Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Thank you for agreeing to be part of this project. Let's start with some background. Can you tell me what role football has played in your life?
The role that football's played in my life has been an absolute lifetime of love of AFL football, VFL football. It went back to when I was a small child, more than 60 years ago, so it's been a lifelong love affair for me with football and supporting football.
And what about women's football? What role has women's football played in your life?
My role being involved with women's football is I go back again to when I was about 6 years old when I joined the cheer squad. And I always had a burning desire and passion to want to play the great game, which I did eventually when I was in the cheer squad. And we had our own teams in the cheer squad and we would play the opposition on a Sunday afternoon. But unfortunately, at the age of 15, I had to hang up my boots because I was getting knocked around far too much and my mother and father thought it was wise for me to stop playing. So I retired at the ripe old age of 15 and had to hang up my boots. And as a result, I was very sad about that and always wished I had a league to go to, but it just never existed.
And more recently, how has women's football played in your life?
Well, I've been certainly watching and observing women playing football for many, many years, especially the Victorian Women's Football League, and I would go to games unannounced. No one knew that I was there because I knew there was a league out there that was really firing. But I also knew that they were not getting support and sponsorship that they dearly needed. And so I went to a luncheon and, of course, as I say, the rest is history, but I got behind them financially and supported them for a number of years where they were able to employ full-time staff. And then I funded the Western Bulldogs team for 3 years to get them on the field, the women's team. Then, of course, Melbourne did something similar with a sponsor. And so I've been involved for decades, but more recently, I guess in the last 15 years, I've been there supporting financially and just getting down the rooms and supporting the women and giving them encouragement to play the game that they love. So to me, it's been a lifelong love affair. Started off with the men's and then the cheer squad and then the women's football. And if only I was 15 again, I know I would be playing AFLW. I know because I was a good footballer and I'm very modest too. Yeah. Well, I knew it was going to happen. I mean, I could have said I told you so, but I won't. But I am. I shouldn't say that. But I knew it was going to be a success. I saw the groundswell of women interested in football and the burning desire and passion of women to want to play the great game. And I do say that Gillon McLachlan could see the writing on the wall. He could see it was a good business plan, a good business model. And bringing it forward by a couple of years or 3 years was a good decision by him and the AFL. And I knew with the backing of the AFL headquarters behind women, I knew it was going to be a success. So for me it was, well, it was going to happen, but it happened earlier. And let's face it, Gil has been a champion of change. And without Gil's support and the commission, we wouldn't be where we are today if he wasn't the champion of change that he is. Hello.
What were you feeling that day when it was officially announced and everybody was so excited?
Well, I was very excited. I was invited to the launch and at the same time I was given the opportunity to present the cup to all the captains of the eight teams, and they were there as well. And the joy in their faces, that it just was just remarkable. But I was astonished at the interest and the media that turned up and everybody who turned up, with the honour and the privilege of holding that cup up with those eight inaugural captains is something that'll last me for the rest of my life. It was just a very, very special day. And I knew it was going to happen, but it happened a bit earlier than anticipated or expected. Yeah.
Let's go back to the lead up to that first game. When did you decide that you were going to be in that first game?
The first game was the Carlton Collingwood game. And I was invited to the official function, being my role as, you know, with women's football and being a great supporter. But for me, it was a very emotional affair. I'd waited a long time to see women have a league of their own. You know, 55 years I've been waiting. So for me, it was very special. I always say I don't go for the food. I go for the football when I go to a football game. And I love football. It doesn't matter who's playing, men or women. I just love football. And just after the function, most of the VIPs went down to the Carlton room because Mark Fitzpatrick, being an ex-Carlton, they followed him. But I went down to the Collingwood rooms for obvious reasons. And then I came up from there and decided I wanted to sit on my own because I wanted to take in this moment that I'd waited for so long. And I wasn't quite emotional, actually, very emotional. And I sat there and I started crying because I knew the ball was about to bounce. And this is something I'd waited for since I was 15. And people saw me crying, but I was trying really hard. I had the glasses on, came to see if I was all right, thought there was something wrong. And I said, no, I'm fine. So I moved again because I wanted to be on my own to experience that moment. I was trying to be discreet and ladylike and polite. Same thing. So I finished up in the Collingwood cheer squad and they left me alone. And that ball, when it was bounced, it just brought back everything that I wanted to see as a child, whilst I didn't have the resources, the wherewithal and the know-how back when I was 15, I knew I'd played a part in history. And these women now, we've been given the opportunity they'd craved for so long, and they deserved it. And they were just so excited, those women. And the roar of the crowd, 25,000 plus people roaring when that ball went up, was something I'll treasure till the day I die. And then we repeated it the next night at the Witten Oval, where we had we had to close the gates as well. And the thing that I noticed more than anything that next night, apart from being a great game and being televised, were families were coming back. Little girls were wearing the numbers of their favourite girls' players on their back. Who would have thought that was going to happen? Little girls wanted to emulate their heroes, female heroes. But what it did, it brought back the children, boys and girls, and families. And that for me was just fantastic. And being at my own home at the Witten Oval, to see that happen on the second night, and to see and to know that so many people were tuning in on television. I mean, 1.2 million viewers, that was the highest rating, TV rating for the entire year, including men's football as well. So what an achievement for women. And sport in general, not just football, but sport in general for women. Oh, yes, absolutely amazing. Yes, my memories leading up to that very first game was the presentation of the captains at that official event, launching it. And the special memory for me was holding the cup up with the captains around me and just knowing how excited they were and how privileged they felt to be captains of their team and what fine young women they are. They're just the most beautiful young women. And getting to know each and every one of them so well and getting to know many of the players leading up to the game, Carlton and Collingwood and the Bulldogs and Melbourne, just getting to know all the women and you and knowing what it meant to them, this moment in time for them. Okay, I've passed the time of playing football, but I've helped make young women's dream a reality as something they wanted. And I know I've played a special part in their lives. So for me, it was just a day by day, that whole week was just something happened every day and there was a story or two in the newspaper or the television. Who would have thought women's football would have got that media interest? It was overwhelming and incredibly exciting. And every time I saw something about women, I thought, yes, you've come a long way and good on you, you deserve it.
Why was it important for you to be in that first game? Why did you feel it was important to be there?
I think the reason I really wanted to be at that first game was, firstly, I was invited as a guest from the AFL. And I wouldn't have knocked that back because that was quite an honour. But I didn't go for that. For me, it was to be there and experience a moment in time that I never thought I'd ever see. I wished and I hoped and I dreamt that this would happen one day, hopefully in my lifetime, not thinking it would ever happen in my lifetime. And to see it happen and to be there and be part of history, it's something I will treasure for the rest of my life. And I think many others too, not just me, many other pioneers of women's football. Because when you consider women's football is over 102 years old, according to the history books, that it goes back even further. And as I keep quoting, the first 100 years is the hardest. So I only had to wait 55 years, but these women now have a leg of their own.
What do you remember being in the ground that night? What's sort of standout memories when you think about the Power Comeback team?
When I attended that first match, the Carlton Collingwood, their very, very first match, was one I never expected to see so many people at the game. I knew there'd be interest. I didn't expect the AFL to have such an incredible function, which they did. It was beautifully done. To see the look on the women's faces that were playing, when I went down into the rooms and saw the excitement and the nervousness and on their faces, and they didn't know how to express themselves. But then when I walked out and saw the crowd and the cheer squads and the roar, it was just overwhelming. It was astonishing. And to see the support, not just women, but men as well were there, men supporting our women. It's not about a competition between men and women. We complement each other. And on that night, you could see the men there to support the women, like they've always done for the men over those years. Previously, it's been women supporting men. This time, it was the men supporting the women. And the same thing happened the very next night. I saw the Bulldog players there. Senior players, they're supporting the women and commenting to me, wow, I didn't know they were so good. I said, guys, you have to come and see and believe. Now you've seen it, now do you believe it? So that was another thing too, to get people there to see it and witness it for themselves. If this was serious football and the women are highly skilled, and what people need to take consideration, we've taken amateurs, over 3 months, turned them into professionals. Goodness knows now, with the groundswell and coming through Auskick and everything, what athletes we're going to produce with proper coaching, teaching, environment, infrastructure. It's just going to be remarkable for women.
Do you, reflecting on the crowd, do you think it was a traditional footy crowd, or was there something different about it?
I felt the crowd that turned up to the Carlton Collingwood were obviously the usual supporters, Carlton and Collingwood. They certainly have a huge following. There was a curiosity factor, I'd say, to come and see what these women are all about. But you could tell after the first 5 minutes that people were really interested, that they were cheering. And I think it was the same footy crowd, but there was a fair bit of curiosity, I'd say. It was a mixed crowd. But what I noticed is I noticed on both nights, children had come back with their mum and dad. They were interested. Little girls started to dream about what they could do. And that's what's lovely. Girls and boys can play it together, not against each other. That's not the plan. But can play together, kick to kick. When I attended the Carlton Collingwood game and the atmosphere, it was incredible. The roar of the crowd, it could have been 100,000 people. I think everybody was cheering. But the thing I noticed more than anything was that first bounce and the roar when that first bounce occurred. And I was even yelling too, apart from crying, I was yelling because I was so excited. And I think there was so much pent up excitement that people had to let it out. And I just looked around and I saw the cheer squads and I thought, wow, this is something I know personally I've waited for so long. But I'm not the only person. There's many other pioneers, women, great women and men, who have promoted and wanted to see this happen for a long, long time. Women of my age who've always wanted to play the game, I no doubt they were there because I did see a couple of friends of mine there who always wanted to play footy. they were part of it as well. So it was remarkable. It's, if I could say, winning the grand final, the Bulldogs in 2016 was the ultimate. They came very close. For me personally, it was the game, the Carlton-Collingwood game. And my friendship with all the women. Whilst I may be a Bulldogs girl, I support all women, excuse me, who want to play football, if that's what they want to do, is play AFL. And I know I played a part in helping them. And seeing that crowd and the roar of the crowd, and oh, it was just incredible. Mm. When I was sitting there watching the game as it started, I was thinking about my dreams when I was a little girl, that one day I may be able to put on my boots and play at that level, and how upset I was that I couldn't do it. And when my father told me I had to stop playing at 15, I think I sulked for about 2 days, and I had to move on to other things, you know, education, motherhood, business. And I... And in, within myself, the enormous pride I had to know that these young women who had aspired for so long and were old enough and young enough to be able to play the game that they want to play, whether it be elite or not elite, they weren't given that opportunity. And I kept thinking, if only I was 15 again, if only I would have been lining up just like them. And I would have loved to have worn the red, white and blue and represented them at an elite level if I was good enough. So I was full of emotion. It was lots of things were going through my mind, but it was the one, I guess it's a selfish thing to say, but I so desperately wanted to do what those girls were doing that day, but I missed out. I'm too old, far too old. But these girls got an opportunity, and look at them. How they're playing now. They just love it. And I think the Australian public has embraced them just as much as I have. And this will just continue to grow and grow and grow. And in 5 years' time, we won't be having this conversation. It will be normal. There'll be a girls' competition, women's competition, and a men's competition. So what's all the fuss been all about? Not necessary. It will just be normal. Oh, I do remember a lot of the game. I know that Collingwood were very good. Collingwood were good, but Carlton outclassed them. They were too smart, far too smart. I knew that Carlton were going to win. Mo didn't star as well as she could have, but I think she had nearly two or three players on her. They were tagging her the whole time. So I watched her very closely because Mo and I are very good friends, and I was not barracking for either team. I was just barracking for football. But, you know, I love her dearly, like I love all the girls. But she was well held. She didn't get the opportunity to go and kick goals the way she normally does. And she was injured, which people didn't know. She had an injured knee. So that was going against Collingwood in the forward line. But Carlton were very smart. They were playing well in the centre. But I felt by half time it was over that Carlton were going to win the game. They were far more classy than Collingwood. But again, you know, we've got these young women. I don't think they've ever played on such a big stage before. And maybe they were shell-shocked. Goodness knows what's going through their mind. You know, playing with all those people watching and cheering, they've never experienced anything like that before in their lives. I mean, you're putting amateurs out there, playing with a crowd of 25,000 people roaring their heads off. So it was just, it was an interesting game. I wouldn't say it was overly skilled. There was a lot of, the first quarter, a lot of nervousness. A lot of that was going on. But they settled down after half time. But I always felt that Carlton were the stronger team of the two. And they deserved to win, Carlton.
Were there any players, obviously I know you're keeping an eye on Mo, I think a lot of us
were. Yes.
But are there any other players to sort of caught your eye?
Yeah. Darcy Vesquier, she's just an incredible player from Carlton. Love her. She's just a smart, good player. She uses her brain. She knows where she should be. She's a standout. Meg Hutchins from Collingwood didn't have the best of games, but she's fantastic down in the back line. Good, strong kicking, long kicking. She's a standout always, I feel. She's a terrific woman, strongly built, well built. I think she's made for football. And you've got the lighter footballers, but I think Darcy stood out for me. Not just as a footballer, but as a good human being and a great way of getting people to work together. Carlton were really together that night. They played as a team. And that's what it's all about, playing as a team.
When you reflect on that first game now and think back to everything in the lead up and just the excitement and the joy of that game, what does it mean to you personally?
The lead up, the game, everything that happened, everything that's transpired in the last 55 years. It was a culmination of dreaming, never giving up, the impossible is possible, not taking no for an answer, being relentless at AFL. I know I was not that warmly received in the early days. You know, women's football, you've got to be joking. I'd like to see that. But just all of it coming together and knowing that I never gave up, neither did those women, neither did their families, and to bring it all together and see it actually happen and be recognised the way it was. It was worth all the effort, all my resources and energy and networking. I'm just so satisfied with the job. And I think it was a job well done by a lot of people. Really, I'm only part of that team. There was some other, as I keep saying, there were some fantastic women too behind the scenes. I may have had the resources that some of them I didn't have, but that doesn't take away from what they did. They were relentless too. They played the game. Some of them played it more than 300 games and now cannot play it anymore because they're too old. You know, for them, it was pretty special too. And I knew in my own heart how special it was to them. And we all came together and I think shared in that moment. It was just a glorious occasion. I think the introduction of AFLW, the first game, the second game and subsequent games, has given women a platform, not just in sport, but overall, in business. Women, I think, are becoming more confident in themselves. I can do this. That's what I think it's done for Australia and Australian women. Much more confidence in who they are, what they want to do, and they can achieve almost anything if they set their mind to it. But what's remarkable about the women who are playing the game, they did it for nothing. They did it because they love the game. And that's what's incredible about these women. I know women who have given up their careers those 7 weeks to play the game, put everything on hold. How many people would do that and put their careers and lives and studies and families on hold? So it's been a journey that they've experienced and I've experienced, and I think it will go into the history books. What happened? It happened eventually. It took a long time coming, but it's here. And women now today, as a result of being so successful in AFL, they now feel more confident in themselves, in business or in sport, to be the best they can and to achieve the heights that, you know, to achieve whatever they set their mind to. And I often say to young children when I go to school, I love talking to children who've got stars in their eyes, remember, the impossible is possible. Look what's happened with women, and women in football and in other sports in this country. They're getting the credit that's due to them. They deserve it.
Wanted to be a part of this documentary. Got the email. What sort made you decide, yes, that's something I want to be involved
in? I wanted to be part of the documentary that you invited me to was because to express my thoughts, my inner thoughts, perhaps. I don't talk that openly about that first game. I know what I felt, and it's within me and it'll stay with me forever, but it's nice to be able to share it with others because there's others out there who have equally contributed to make this possible. And to share it with them is very special with me, so I was very honoured to do it. I also enjoyed making Australian Story, sharing the time with Mo, getting to know Mo a lot better, getting to know the St Kilda Sharks a lot better, who I'm now patron and their sponsor. Not that I didn't know the girls before then, but I'm getting to know them a lot better now, because now that I'm no longer in an official capacity at the Bulldogs, I'm able to now share a lot more of why I've been involved in football, whether it be men's or women's. So that's another reason why I wanted to share it, because now I'm free to do all of the above and hopefully inspire young women to be the best they can, no matter what they take on in their lives.
What are you looking forward to the most about the next season of AFLW?
The next season of AFLW, I'm looking forward to seeing two or four new teams that will be announced very shortly. But seeing the new teams, but for me it's very important we get the infrastructure right. We need to have a balance of competition. We don't want to have teams that there's not an even balance. We've got to get it right. We're starting from the beginning, and we've got this opportunity to get it right. We have balanced competition. We have infrastructure that our senior women deserve, because if they get that infrastructure, the men will benefit as well. Because to attract mothers and fathers and have their children play AFL women, they've got to have facilities they feel comfortable and safe in. And that's what we've got to offer the young women or the young children, girls and boys coming through the system. We must offer that. So we must get that right. We must ensure we have, as I say, a balance of competition. I would hope in the next 5 years, this is my personal dream, even though I serve on the advisory, and this is my personal view and my personal dream, that we will see a team at every club, provided there's still 18 clubs in the AFL, men's team, one at every club, one women's team. That would be the ideal situation. So the women would have their own competition and the men would have theirs. But in saying that too, it's not just about having the teams, the women's teams, it's about having the coaching and everything else that goes with it, the medicos, all the staff required, not just depending on the men's side of, you know, of staff, but having our own staff, having our own support team around us. All of that must be in place. So women are given the best opportunity to be the best they are and put on a showcase game every time so that people want to watch the game and want to come along to the game. When I arrived at the ground to attend the function and, of course, then the game, I was getting out of my car and the first two people that saw me were Darcy Vesquio's mum and dad, and they gave me the biggest hug to thank me for giving their daughter an opportunity. Well, she's a star in her own right, anyhow. But just the acknowledgement of parents. Wherever I walked, it was parents thanking me. Don't thank me. Thank your children. Thank your daughters. They're the ones that have done it. But it was just overwhelming, the thanks I was getting from so many people, but mainly parents, because the players were obviously in the rooms. But the girls often thank me when they're on their own. But I said, don't thank me. You did it, not me. I just happened to facilitate some of this for you. I'm living through your dream too. Don't forget that. So that's the thing that really touched me. I was being embraced and kissed by people I didn't know, hadn't got a clue who they were, but just thanking me for making it possible and what a night. And I do recall about a half an hour after arriving at the ground, Gil McLaughlin said to me, Sue, he said, I think we may have a sellout. I said, you've got to be joking. About a half an hour after that, he said to me, we've got to close the gates. We can't put another person in. And I said, who would have thought that? 25,500 people had to close the gates. And people were jumping over the fence. The car parking attendants were having a bonanza time, booking people who were parked everywhere where they shouldn't be. But people were desperate to see the game. And goodness knows how many thousands watched it on television, because I know what happened the next night. So it just repeated itself the next night. So it was just quite remarkable. It was very emotional for me personally, being thanked and being there myself.
Do you feel yourself getting emotional now when you reflect on it?
Yeah, I get emotional every time I talk about women's football, every time I read a story about what young woman's done or what a club's doing, or how, like when Erin Phillips won the Brownlow, I know what she put on hold. Katie Brennan, the injury she had. Mo, the injury she had. Darcy, you know, there's so many. Daisy, what a champion she is. What a beautiful woman she is. I'm so proud of them. They speak beautifully when they're interviewed. They don't speak in cliches. They're intelligent young women. They're just remarkable. And I'm just so proud of them. It's like, I guess you could almost say they're like family, although they're not. But I treat them just like as if they were part of my family, and I love them all. I don't care who they play for. And there's another young lady who I absolutely think is incredible, and that's Sarah Perkins. I know what it's like to lose weight. I know how hard it was for her when no one wanted her, when Adelaide gave her a lifeline. No one wanted her in the draft. And look what a gun forward she is, and what a beautiful young lady she is. And I can remember when I presented the cup up there in the Gold Coast when they won the premiership. And she was the only person I really wanted to see. And she came over to me and I said to her, Sarah, you are my hero. And we both cried. That's a moment I'll never forget. She's a remarkable young lady. What she did and how hard she worked to get to where she got. And she made history, the first women's team to be in a grand final. That goes in the history books now. She's part of it. She can tell her children and grandchildren, I was the first. And look what I did, how hard I worked. And she continues to work hard to be the best she can. That's what it's done for her. But there's lots of stories like that around the country. I don't want to really necessarily single out women. They're all fantastic women, all of them. Mission accomplished. Oh, my thoughts about the first game, to me personally, was mission accomplished. It only took me 55 years. It was a dream I had. I've had a couple of dreams and wishes. Two out of the three have come true. The Bulldogs have won the grand final. The women have got a league of their own. Mission accomplished. Now it's up to them now to flourish and get better and better, and I know they will. The other is finding a cure for type 1 diabetes, which I haven't found yet. But they've been the three wishes I've had ever since I was a small child. 62 years for the Bulldogs to win the grand final. The women, 55 years. And now it's been 35 years for me to find a cure. And I'll keep working on that as long as I live. I promised my daughter that when she died, I'd do that. So for me, mission accomplished. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.